भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 3, Pure Devotional Service, Text 22. Parhaite te nayane naranam lingani vishnor nanirikshato ye Padonrinam to druma janma bhajo Kshetrani nanu rajato hareryo Barhai te te nayane naranam Lingani vishnor nanirikshato ye Padonrinam to druma janma bhajo Kshetrani nanu vrajato hareryo Paraite. Like plumes of a peacock. Te. Those. Nayane. Eyes. Naranam. Of men. Lingani. Forms. Vishnu. Of the personality of Godhead. Na. Does not. Nirikshita, look upon, yea, all such, pado, legs, rinam, of men, to, those, juma janma, being born of the tree, Bhajo, like that. Chetrani, holy places. Na, never. Anuvrajata, goes after. Hare, the Lord. Yo, which. Translation. The eyes which do not look at the symbolic representations of the personality of Godhead Vishnu, his forms, names, qualities, etc., are like those printed on the plumes of the peacock. And the legs which do not move to the holy places, where the Lord is remembered, are considered to be like tree trunks. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Especially for the householder devotees, the path of deity worship is strongly recommended. As far as possible, every householder, by the direction of the spiritual master, must install the deity of Vishnu. Forms like Radha Krishna, Lakshmi Narayan, or Sita Ram especially, or any other form of the Lord, like Gornitai, Nishingha, Varaha, Matsya, Kurma, Shalagram Shila, and many other forms of Vishnu, like Trivikram, Keshava, Achyuta, Vasudev, Narayan, and Damodar, as recommended in the Vaishnav Tantras or Puranas. And one's family should worship strictly following the directions and regulations of Archana Vidhi. This next sentence or two you can translate till I start reading again. So there are three important points here. The first is that every devotee, especially householder devotees, should worship the deity. The second is that they should do so as directed by the spiritual master. And the third is that they should strictly follow the rules and regulations of Archana Vidhi. You think you can do it?
Maharaj ji bataya abhi hai khas taur par drashton ke liye bahut aavashyak hai ki bhagwan ke arch vigrah ki pooja karna chahiye. Dusra mahaprasna bataya hai, teen point bataye maharaj ne, aur jo arch vigrah ki jab pooja ki jaye uska tarika hai, aur wo tarika hai jo guru batayenge uske aadhar unke niyamon ko jo bataye us tarike se pooja karna chahiye. Aur teesri cheez hai जो गुरु जो बताते हैं उनके कुछ रूल्स और पूजा करने के कुछ नियम होते हैं डिटी वर्शिप के, मतलब उन नियमों को पालन करना चाहिए.
Do we have a Hindi Bhagavatam here or just English? Okay. So you can translate a bit here. Any member of the family who is above 12 years of age should be initiated by a bona fide spiritual master, and all the members of the household should be engaged in the daily service of the Lord, beginning from morning, 4 a.m., till night, 10 p.m., by performing Mangal Arti, Niranjan, Archana, Puja, Kirtan, Shringar, Bhoga Vaikali, Sandhya Arati, Pata, Bhoga at night, Shayan Arati, etc. Mahaprabhu, don't. You just translate them.
महाराज ने अभी हाल ये बताया है कि हर ग्रस्त को, जो ग्रस्त आश्रम में रहते हैं उनके बच्चों को, जो इनकी उम्र 11 वर्ष 12 वर्ष से ऊपर है, उनको जो है एक परंपरा में आए हुए गुरु से दीक्षा लेना चाहिए, और उनको साफ घर के सब लोगों को भगवान की सेवा में लगना चाहिए, और वो सेवा 4 बजे से प्रारंभ होती है और शाम को 10 बजे तक रहती है. और उसमें क्या बताया गया है, इस मंगल आरती से प्रारंभ होती है वो, और जो है निरंजना, अर्चना, पूजा, कीर्तन, श्रृंगार, भोग, संध्या आरती, पठना और भोग, रात के समय का भोग, इस तरह की जो है तरीका बताया है, जो संध्या ये सारी आरतियों को मतलब करना चाहिए ग्रस्त आश्रम में रहने वाले लोगों को. और जो भगवान की पूजा जो है आज विग्रह की पूजा करना चाहिए, जो गुरु महाराज जैसे तरीका बताएं उस तरीके से करना चाहिए, जो कि हमारे हृदय को पवित्र करने के लिए बहुत मदद करेंगे, और जिससे कि हमारी भक्ति में हमको बहुत उन्नति होगी. जब हम पूजा करते हैं तो भक्ति में बहुत उन्नति होती है, और इसलिए जो लोग सिर्फ ये सोच रहे हैं कि मैं बहुत किताबें पढ़ रहा हूँ, वो पूरा ज्ञान वास्तव में जो नए लोगों को समझ में नहीं आएगा जब तक कि वो भगवान की पूजा नहीं करेंगे, किताबें कितनी भी पढ़ें तो
So, again, just to summarize the important points, every member of the family should be initiated and engage in deity worship from 10 in the well, 4 in the morning till 10 at night, and execute a long list of items that are involved in deity worship. Now, this is the actual standard, and this was followed in households for centuries. I'm not sure how much is followed now. But elsewhere, and there are many books with of Srila Prabhupada's in which he gives detailed instructions about deity worship. But one point is that if one is not able to worship the deity personally, one can see the worship being performed by others and get the same result, get the credit for the same worship. So if you go to the temple and see the Mangal Arati, it's the same as performing the Mangal Arati at home. So if one lives close enough to the temple, one should participate in the worship at the temple, because to really perform the worship properly requires a number of initiated devotees. It's not specifically stated here, but the way Srila Prabhupada talks about the family members being so engaged, he could, be referring to a joint family system where there are many husbands, wives, children who could all be engaged in the worship of the family deity. At least it would be easier to execute all the services properly if there were a large number of family members to do it. Now, the training of devotional service for a neophyte devotee completely depends on the expert spiritual master who knows how to lead his disciple to make gradual progress toward the path back home, back to Godhead. One should not become a pseudo-spiritual master as a matter of business to meet one's family expenditures. One must be an expert spiritual master to deliver the disciple from the clutches of impending death. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has defined the bona fide qualities of a spiritual master. And one of the verses in that description reads, Sri Vigrahara Dana Nityanana Shingaratan Mandir Marjanado Yuktasya Bhaktam Cha Niyunjatopi Vande Guru Sri Charanaravindam. Sri Vigraha is the archa, or suitable, worshipable form of the Lord. And the disciple should be engaged in worshipping the deity regularly by Shringar, by proper decoration and dressing, and also by Mandira Marjana, the matter of cleansing the temple. The spiritual master teaches the neophyte devotees all these kindly and personally to help him gradually in the realization of the transcendental name, quality, form, etc., of the Lord. All right, now translate this much. Now look. You start here and end at the end of that paragraph. Begins shoot. You know where to begin?
Yes. So यहाँ पर बताया गया है कि शिव विग्रह की जो पूजा जो की जाती है और जो पूजा करते समय उसके कुछ रेगुलरली करना चाहिए, किस तरह करना चाहिए, वो सिंगार भगवान को पूरी भगवान का जो है शिव विग्रह के वो जो है प्रॉपर उनका डेकोरेशन करना चाहिए, मतलब उनको सजाना चाहिए, उनको ड्रेस पहनाना चाहिए और मंदिर मर्जन मंदिर का जो है की सफाई करना चाहिए और इसके बाद में और पूरे मंदिर को अच्छी तरह से साफ करना चाहिए और इस तरह जो है जो गुरु महाराज हमारे को जो नए भक्त होते हैं उनके लिए जो पर्सनली मतलब खुद आदेश देते हैं कि वास्तव में जिससे कि वो आर्ष विग्रह मतलब भगवान की पूजा करने में धीरे धीरे वो किस तरह से उनके भगवान के नाम उनके गुण उनके रूप वगैरह में सारी चीजों का उनका उनको ज्ञान आ सके.
So the verse from the Gauravastakam describes deity worship as performed by the disciples who are instructed and engaged in deity worship by the spiritual master. So it is the duty or one of the functions of the spiritual master to instruct the disciples properly, kindly and personally in the process of deity worship. Again, in another context, the spiritual master would be situated in one place and he would have his disciples around him and he would instruct him. But as time has passed, many spiritual masters, especially sannyasis, they travel and preach. And they may not be able to directly instruct the disciples, to some extent, but not fully. And therefore, they organize or depute others to instruct the devotees for them. Srila Prabhupada, our acharya, in the beginning, when he was in New York, he taught the devotees everything because nobody else knew anything. And he didn't go anywhere. He was always in New York. But as the number of devotees increased, and as the movement grew, and as Srila Prabhupada traveled more to different places, he wrote books to instruct the disciples, and he also deputed disciples who were expert in particular fields to instruct the others. And in 1970, he established Los Angeles as his Western world headquarters, and he personally instructed the devotees there in deity worship, and he invited devotees from other centers in North America to come to Los Angeles to learn the standard of deity worship, mainly from the head pujari there. So we also have Srila Prabhupada's Western world, world headquarters in Mayapur. We have the most exemplary pujaris there, Chinanivas Prabhu and Pankajambri Prabhu. They offer courses in deity worship that any devotee can attend. And one should learn. It's part of the process of spiritual advancement in bhakti yoga. And especially if one wants to attempt to engage in deity worship at home, one must know the process so one can do it properly, according to the rules and regulations. So, understanding that not everyone will be able to go to Mayapur and spend a month or whatever is required, we are arranging for a course on deity worship to be given here in Juhu. We still have to work out the details, but the devotees should take the course and learn. And definitely if any devotees want to introduce new deity worship at home, they should take the course first. Now, one other point. Is that all the members of the family should be engaged in the deity worship. In other words, the center of the home should be the deity. We should not think as ordinary people do, that this is my home, this is my wife, these are my children, this is my money. But we should think this is Krishna's home, or Gaur Nitai's home. And all these family members are servants of Krishna, or Gaur Nitai. And everything here belongs to Krishna and is meant for Krishna's pleasure. Then our focus at home will be proper, and our relationships with each other in the family will be correct. Otherwise, there will be so many problems. So I'll continue the purport, because there were two points mentioned in the verse. Can anyone tell me, paraphrase, the verse? What are the two points in the verse? Correct. That's what I said. Now, as far as the verse, I'll read it again. Listen very carefully, because after I read it this time, I'm going to ask you the same question. There's two points in this verse. Now listen very carefully. The eyes which do not look at the symbolic representations of the personality of Godhead Vishnu are like... Does anyone remember? Yes. Like those printed on the plumes of the peacock. And the legs... The legs what? What legs? The legs which do not move to the holy places are considered to be like tree trunks. Now, some of us will be going to the holy place of Vrindavan soon, so we will read what Srila Prabhupada says about visiting holy places. But just to conclude, Srila Prabhupada, he actually makes the same point that I made. Or I should say, before, anyway, if one is unable to maintain a temple at home, he should go to another's temple, where all the above performances are regularly executed. Visiting the temple of a devotee, which can include the Radharasa Bihari temple, Srila Prabhupada's temple. Visiting the temple of a devotee and looking at the profusely decorated forms of the Lord, well-dressed in a well-decorated sanctified temple, naturally infuse the mundane mind with spiritual inspiration. people should visit holy places like Vrindavan, where such temples and worship of the deity are specifically maintained. Formerly, all rich men, like kings and rich merchants, constructed such temples under the direction of expert devotees of the Lord, like the six Goswamis. And it is the duty of the common man to take advantage of these festivals and temples in the holy places of pilgrimage by following in the footsteps of great devotees. Anuvraja, that word comes in the verse. One should not visit all these sanctified pilgrimage places and temples with sightseeing in mind, but one must go to such temples and sanctified places immortalized by the transcendental pastimes of the Lord and be guided by proper men who know the science. This is called Anuvraja. Anu means to follow. It is therefore best to follow the instruction of the bona fide spiritual master, even in visiting temples and holy places of pilgrimage. One who does not move in that way is as good as a standing tree condemned by the Lord not to move. The moving tendency of the human being is misused by visiting places for sightseeing. The best purpose of such traveling tendencies could be fulfilled by visiting the holy places established by great acharyas and thereby not being misled by the atheistic propaganda of money-making men who have no knowledge of spiritual matters. So, I had gathered together a number of books that are rich in information about deity worship, but because of lack of time, we won't read as much as we could. But I'll read a little more just to give you an idea of what's in these books, which you should read. Now, this is from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, Chapter 4. Lord Chaitanya is instructing Sanatan Goswami to write a book, and he is telling Sanatan Goswami what he should discuss in the book. And one of the items is described in text 334. The Lord tells Sanatan Goswami, also describe deity worship, wherein one should offer food to Krishna at least 5 times daily. In Jagannath they offer 64 or something like that. 54 times. And in due time, place him on a bed. you should also describe the process for offering arti and the worship of the Lord according to the list of 5, 16, or 50 ingredients. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The 5 ingredients for deity worship are 1. Very good scents. 2. Very good flowers. 3. Incense. 4. A lamp. And 5. Something edible. As for sadasopachar, the 16 ingredients, one should 1. Provide a sitting place, asana. Ask Krishna to sit down. Offer argya. Who knows what argya is? Yes?
Offering water to the individual.
Offer water to wash the legs. Wash the mouth. Offer madhupark. Does anyone know what madhupark is?
Honey. And yogurt, ghee, with some kapoor, instant honey.
Offer water for washing the mouth. Bathe the Lord. Offer garments. Decorate the Lord's body with ornaments. Offer sweet scents. Offer flowers with good fragrance like the rose or champak. Offer incense. Offer a lamp. Give food. And offer prayers. Now this standard is generally the minimum standard required for installing deities at home. The first is quite simple, but to install deities, you should follow these 16 items, which includes bathing the deity, dressing the deity, basic things. In the Hari Bhakti Vilas, 11th Vilas, verses 127 to 140, there is a vivid description of what is required in deity worship. There are 64 items mentioned. In the temple, worship should be so gorgeous that all 64 items should be available for the satisfaction of the personality of Godhead. Sometimes it is impossible to get all 64 items. Therefore, we recommend that at least on the first day of installation, all 64 items should be available. When the Lord is established, worship with all 64 items should continue as far as possible. The 64 items are as follows. 1. There must be a bell hanging in front of the temple room so that whoever comes into the room can ring the bell. You can even do this at home. This item is called prabodhanam, or offering oneself submissively to the Lord. 2. The visitor must chant Jai Shri Radha Govinda or Jai Shri Radha Madhava when he rings the bell. In either case, the word Jai must be uttered. Very easy, but you have to know. I mean, some people do it naturally, but otherwise you have to know to do it, and you do it. One should immediately offer obeisances to the Lord, falling down like a stick. How many people do that? I've seen in so many houses, in some houses, the family members don't offer obeisances whenever they come in front of the deity, even if they're going to do like an offering or do some service to the deity. One should immediately offer obeisances to the Lord, falling down like a stick. There must be regular Mangal Arati in the temple during the early morning, an hour and a half before sunrise. There must be an asan, a sitting place before the altar. This asan is for the spiritual master. The disciple brings everything before the spiritual master, and the spiritual master offers everything to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. After Mangal Arati, the deity is supposed to wash his teeth by using a twig. Therefore, a twig must be offered. Water must be offered for washing the deity's feet. Argya should be offered. Water for Achman should be offered. Madhuparka, a small bowl containing madhu, honey, a little ghee, a little sugar, yogurt, and milk should be offered. This is called Madhuparka Achman. You can see this takes time, and it's more than one person can do. It takes a temple with Brahmins or a large family with Brahmins. But this is the 64 items. This is not for everyone, not even necessarily for big temples every day, but as far as possible. One should place wooden slippers before the Lord. One should massage the body of the Lord. One should massage the body of the Lord with oil, with a wet, soft sponge. One should remove all the oil smeared over the Lord's body. One should bathe the Lord with water in which nicely scented flowers have been soaked for some time. After bathing the body of the Lord with water, one should bathe him with milk. Then one should bathe him with yogurt. Then one should bathe him with ghee. Then one should bathe him with honey. Then one should bathe him with water in which sugar has been dissolved. Then one should wash the deity with water and chant this mantra, Chintamani Prakara Sadmasu. So this brings us up to 21. Approximately one-third of 64. But I think you get the idea. It's not a small thing. That's the basic idea. Now, we come to more instructions, not particularly related to the 64 items, but general instructions. Arti should be offered to the deities 5 times daily, early in the morning before sunrise, later in the morning, at noon, in the evening, and at night. This means there should be a worship and a change of dress and flowers. They do that in all the temples that Prabhupada established that adhere to the standard. As far as edibles are concerned, all items should be first-class preparations. There should be first-class rice, dal, fruit, sweet rice, vegetables, and a variety of foods to be sucked, drunk, and chewed. All the edibles offered to the deities should be extraordinarily excellent. In Europe and America, there is presently no monetary scarcity. People are not poor, and if they follow these principles of deity worship, they will advance in spiritual life. As far as placing the deity in the bed is concerned, if the deity is large and heavy, it is not possible to move him daily. It is better that a small deity, which is also worshipped, be taken to the bed. This mantra should be chanted: Agacha Shayan Stanam Priyabhi Saha Keshava. O Keshava, kindly come to your bed along with Srimati Radharani. Hari Bhakti Vilas 1140. The deity should be placed in bed with Srimati Radharani, and this should be indicated by bringing the wooden slippers from the altar to the bedside. When the deity is laid down, his legs should be massaged. Before laying the deity down, a pot of milk and sugar should be offered to him. After taking this thick milk, the deity should lie down and should be offered betel nuts and spices to chew. So, there are different standards of deity worship for worship at home and for worship in the temple. The standard for worship in the temple is different. It is said that in the temple the deity is worshipped like a king. Everything is organized around the schedule of the king for the pleasure of the king. Whereas in deity worship at home, the deity is more like a family member. And it's not that the family will eat according to the time of the deity, but the deity will eat according to the time of the family. But although there's flexibility in terms of the timing, there is a certain minimum requirement of service, which includes doing offering these 16 items and bathing the deity, changing the dress. It doesn't have to take that long. I mean, if someone is expert, he or she can do it in probably a half hour. Of course, it does take time to assemble all the paraphernalia. But the children can help with that. I mean, that's the whole idea. And then the actual worship could be done in a half hour. So, as you may be understanding, You know, deity worship is a scientific process. It has a philosophical basis. And it requires knowledge of the procedures and execution of the procedures. And it is a fact that many devotees have deities at home. They don't know what the standard is. They don't know what the procedures are. They don't follow the procedures. They don't adhere to the standard. And that is not recommended. If you can't do the worship at home to the proper standard, you should go to a place where the deity is worshipped according to the proper standard. You know, the temple or some devotees' home, but at least the temple we know. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's better to participate in the worship at the temple, which is being properly performed, than to do something which is not authorized and not approved. Now, someone might think, well, what if I do the worship at home, have my deities, but don't follow all the rules and regulation? Then what? What's the problem? The answer is that if you do not do the worship properly, you are involved in seva aparadha. That means offenses in deity service. And if we commit offenses, then our spiritual progress is hampered. And I will read, there are different lists, but there are approximately 32 offenses that are commonly mentioned in scriptures. Now, I'm just going to read the list. There's, for each item, this is from the Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada's summary study of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu by Srila Rupa Goswami. So for each item in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami cites verses from scripture in support of the principle that he has enunciated. But for now, we will just read the list. In the supplementary Vedic literature, there is the following list of 32 offenses in the matter of serving the Lord. 1. One should not enter the temple of the deity in a car or palanquin or with shoes on the feet. One should not fail to observe the various festivals for the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, such as Janmashtami and Rath Yatra. One should not avoid bowing down before the deity. One should not enter the temple to worship the Lord without having washed one's hands and feet after eating. One should not enter the temple in a contaminated state. One should not bow down on one hand. In other words, you put, that is called, at least, there's a Sanga Dandavats, that's bowing down flat, and then there's Panchanga Dandavats, which is hands and knees and head. That's the minimum. No, one should not bow down on one hand. One should not circumambulate in front of Sri Krishna. The process of circumambulating the temple is that one should begin circumambulating from the deity's right-hand side of the temple and come around. Such circumambulation should be performed outside the temple structure at least 3 times daily. Now, of course, in many temples they have a way around the deity, so within the temple structure you can do it. But in other places, you may have to walk outside the building. In the old Boston temple, we used to do that every day. After Mangalarti, we would just stay in the temple room and we would all chant our rounds together, and then at about 6:45, before deity greetings, we would all walk outside the building and circumambulate 3 times. And in Dallas, I heard Tamal Krishna Goswami, whenever he would go out, he would circumambulate the temple building 3 times. Or at least the first time he went out. One should not spread his legs before the deity. One should not sit before the deity holding the ankles, elbows, or knees with one's hands. One should not lie down before the deity of Krishna. One should not accept prasad before the deity. One should never speak a lie before the deity. One should not talk loudly before the deity. One should not talk with others before the deity. One should not cry or howl before the deity. One should not quarrel or fight before the deity. One should not chastise anyone before the deity. One should not be charitable to beggars before the deity. One should not speak harshly to others before the deity. One should not wear a fur blanket before the deity. One should not eulogize or praise anyone before the deity. One should not speak any ill names before the deity. One should not pass air before the deity. In another, further on, on this point, Srila Prabhupada explains that that means that one should have fully digested one's food before coming before the deity or worshipping the deity. Or one should not eat too much before doing so. One should not fail to worship the deity according to one's means. In the Bhagavad Gita is said that the Lord is satisfied if a devotee offers him even a leaf or a little water. This formula prescribed by the Lord is universally applicable, even for the poorest man. But that does not mean that one who has sufficient means to worship the Lord very nicely should also adopt this method and try to satisfy the Lord simply by offering water and a leaf. If he has sufficient means, he should offer nice decorations, nice flowers, and nice foodstuffs, and observe all ceremonies. It is not that one should try to satisfy the Supreme Lord with a little water and a leaf, and for himself spend all his money in sense gratification. One should not eat anything which is not offered first to Krishna. One should not fail to offer fresh fruit and grains to Krishna according to the season. After food has been cooked, no one should be offered any foodstuffs unless it is first offered to the deity. One should not sit with his back toward the deity. One should not offer obeisances silently to the spiritual master. Or, in other words, one should recite aloud the prayers to the spiritual master while offering obeisances. One should not fail to offer some praise in the presence of the spiritual master. One should not praise himself before the spiritual master. One should not deride the demigods before the deities. This is a list of 32 offenses. Besides these, there are a number of offenses that are mentioned in the Varaha Purana. They are as follows. 1. One should not touch the deity in a dark room. 2. One should not fail to strictly follow the rules and regulations in worshiping the deity. In other words, if we fail to follow the rules and regulations strictly, worshiping the deity, it's an offense. This is what I'm trying to save us from. One should not enter the temple of the deity without first making some sound, like ringing the bell or saying Jai Gornitai. One should not offer any foodstuffs to the deity that has been seen by dogs or other lower animals. One should not break silence while worshiping. It means you don't take the cell phone call when you're worshiping the deity. That's an extreme case. One should not pass urine or evacuate while engaged in worshiping. We discussed this the other day, that it can be very hard for pujaris because they have to worship for hours. And because we were discussing, like, drinking water is healthy. It's good to drink a lot of water, but if you're a pujari, you can't pass water or evacuate while you're engaged in deity worship. So it's hard for them, but it's an austerity they have to perform. Otherwise, it's against the rules. They can't do it. One should not offer incense without offering some flour. Useless flowers without any fragrance should not be offered. One should not fail to wash his teeth very carefully every day. And there are some specific ones about specific situations, and some that are similar to what we read. One should not pass air within the temple. One should not be angry within the temple. One should not enter the temple after visiting a crematorium. One should not belch before the deity. So, unless one has fully digested his food, he should not enter the temple. One should not show disrespect to a scripture about the supremacy of the Lord. One should not worship the Lord while sitting on the bare floor. One must have a sitting place or carpet, asana. One should not touch the deity before one has completed taking bath. One should not enter the temple without washing his hands and feet. And then there's more. More and more and more. Now, we come to the question, what to do if we have committed offenses? In the Padma Purana, it is stated that even a person whose life is completely sinful will be completely protected by the Lord if he simply surrenders unto him. So it is accepted that one who surrenders unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes free from all sinful reactions. And even when a person becomes an offender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he can still be delivered simply by taking shelter of the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In other words, the chanting of Hare Krishna is beneficial for eradicating all sins. But if one becomes an offender to the holy names of the Lord, then he has no chance of being delivered. And then there's the list of the 10 offenses against the holy name. So generally, we speak more about the 10 offenses against the holy name. Because if one innocently or accidentally or inadvertently commits an offense while worshiping the deity, the reactions to the offense performed in the deity worship is eradicated by offenseless chanting of the holy names. Now, someone with a devious mind, which includes most, if not all of us, no, not most, someone might think, well, I can worship in my own way, and then I can chant. And by chanting, I'll be freed from the reactions of the offenses. Well, guess what? It doesn't work. Because that mentality is namaparad. That our acharyas have explained that is the same mentality that's, you know, committing sin on the strength of chanting Hare Krishna, that you commit sin and you think that by chanting Hare Krishna you'll become free from the reactions. So our acharyas say that if one willingly, knowingly commits offenses in deity worship and thinks that he can counteract the offenses by chanting the holy names, he is committing the namaparad, seventh namaparad, committing sin on the strength of chanting Hare Krishna. And they explain further that not only do they not get relieved of the reactions to the offenses they committed, but they become involved in further offensive reactions for committing that seventh offense. So, if someone is, you know, sincerely trying to follow all the rules and regulations and inadvertently commits a mistake, he can ask the Lord to forgive him. It's also part of the deity worship procedure that at the end of the worship you say a prayer asking the Lord to forgive you. And if by accident you commit some minor mistake in the course of deity worship, if you chant sincerely without offense, taking shelter of the holy name, that will automatically remove the reactions to the offenses in deity worship. Save up. But if you think so many other people have deities, I should also have, what will people think? It's like, you know, s- sort of the envious householder mentality, or what they say in America, keeping up with the Joneses. That, oh, you know, my friend has big deities, I will also have them. My relative has big deities, I will also have. You know, that type of mentality means we're on the material platform. It means we're just like ordinary people who are competing with our neighbors, with our friends, with our relatives. You know, instead of who has a bigger car or who has a bigger house, that's like who has a bigger temple room, who has bigger deities. It's just an extension of the same materialistic mentality. So we should do everything in the mood of service, favorable, anukulyena krishna anuchivanam. Favorable means according to the directions of the scripture and the spiritual master. That will be favorable to Krishna's pleasure. Then life is very simple, very beautiful. And if we feel our lifestyle doesn't really allow us to worship properly, because Kali Yuga now, just traveling to work takes so many hours. Srila Prabhupada used to quote one Chanakya shloka, something like, you know, a man is happy if there's no quarrel at home and if he doesn't have to travel to work. So now it's, you know, it takes a lot of time to go to work, there's traffic, and go to school. Everything takes time. And therefore the time that we have left to actually worship the deity properly is less. And therefore it may not be possible to worship the way Prabhupada described in that first verse and purport. But it's okay, we have the holy name. That's the main thing. Take shelter of the holy name. And we can go to the temple where they do maintain the standard properly and participate in the worship there. It shouldn't be done like cheaply, just without consciousness, without knowledge, without care. Another book which I don't have here right now is a three-volume set published by the Bhaktivedanta Archives called Srila Prabhupada Shikshamrita, which is a collection of excerpts from Srila Prabhupada's letters organized according to different topics. There's a whole section on deity worship. So anyone who is engaged in deity worship at home or in the temple should, I mean, that includes everyone. Everyone goes to the temple. They should read that. To know what you're doing. You should do it with consciousness. Just like we talk about japa now. We have japa seminars, japa retreats. We have to talk about deity worship. We have to talk about every item of devotional service so that we understand it properly and execute it properly. Otherwise, we're implicated in offenses and we don't make progress. We're as we were, more or less. Of course, maybe just some improvement, but or as we were. Srila Prabhupada would quote a story told by his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Once one disciple asked Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur that all of your disciples are engaged in the same process. They're all getting up, attending Mangal Arati, chanting Hare Krishna, reading scriptures, worshipping the deity, but some seem to be advancing very quickly and others seem not to be advancing. What is the reason? And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told the story of the wedding party, that a group was to attend a wedding on the other side of the river, and it was to be an overnight journey. So at night they all got in the boat and they took rest, and they expected in the morning they would reach the destination. But when the morning came, they found that they were all in the same place, that the boat hadn't moved at all. So they challenged the boatman, "What happened? No, you didn't row. You were sleeping all night." He said, "No, I was rowing all night. I'm completely exhausted." "But then why are we in the same place? Why didn't we go anywhere?" And finally someone found the reason, that he left the anchor in. The anchor had been left in, and even though he was rowing and making so much effort, he didn't get anywhere because he didn't pull out the anchor. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says people may make an effort in devotional service. They may go through the motions of devotional service, but if they leave in the anchor of material attachments and material desires, they won't make progress. And one of the offenses, one of the reactions to offenses, basic principle of offenses, is that one of the reactions is you have material desires. So we go through the motions of devotional service, but we still have material desires. And if we engage in devotional service without committing offenses, we become purified. We become free from material desires and attachments. But if we chant in a haphazard way, committing offenses, or do some sort of deity worship in a haphazard way and commit offenses, then we remain entangled in material desires and attachments. And in spite of making efforts in devotional service, we don't make much progress because we left the anchor in. So it's a science. Srila Prabhupada uses the word science. It is a science. We have to know the science and we have to follow it. And we learn it by reading the books and attending the classes, just like any subject. I mean, when I first came to India, I would, we would visit or stay in people's homes. I remember we were meeting important people. But I remember the first time I met a really big industrialist in Calcutta. I had to travel a bit outside the city. His name was Mr. Tikmani. He had a steel rolling mill. And his wife had her temple room, And she would just sit in front of her little deities for hours every day. That's what we saw when we first came to India. We'd just sit in front of their deities for hours, worshipping them, doing arti, making offerings, reading prayers, reading scriptures. And Mr. Tikmani half joked that it's because of her puja that he's wealthy. He said, "I'm a fallen man. I spend most of my time at the factory just thinking about making money. But my wife is very pure and pious, and she spends most of her time in puja. And it's really because of her pious activities that we're wealthy." And when we first came to Bombay, we went straight from the airport to Saxaria Bhavan, 74 Marine Drive. It was a joint family. They had five floors, and each, you know, on each floor, well, there were two sides, so like 10, and different family members were there. The downstairs was a guest house where we stayed. And they had one kitchen. They'd cook for everyone, and they'd offer all the food to the deities. And I remember those ladies, it was just enchanting. They'd just be spending hours in front of their deities. All these nice little mogra flowers and jasmine. And the life was different. It wasn't so rushed. And they'd have all their Hindi books, Gita Press editions, and just reciting prayers and reading Bhagwat, Sukh Sagar, quite a nice atmosphere. And Srila Prabhupada had a very intelligent friend, Mr. Bridgerton Mota, very intelligent person. And previously, people, especially, you know, aristocratic people or well-to-do people, they wouldn't go out shopping. When I first came to India, I saw it even at Juhu, Nairwadi. There would be a fruit vendor who would come around and you'd call, you know, people would buy their fruits or vegetables. They wouldn't have to go out. And people would have their own suppliers. They would bring what they needed. They wouldn't have to go out. So Mr. Mota one day told me that something new has entered the pious households: shopping. And he said, "This will be the ruination of our families. Because the women, instead of staying home and doing puja and taking care of the house, will go shopping." He was seeing it just at the very early stages. And I don't know to what extent it's true, but I'm sure to a large extent it's true. They have no time to do puja, but they have time to go shopping. And Srila Prabhupada, when he first came to Los Angeles, he had there was a young girl, young lady, maybe she was newly married, maybe 18, 17, 18, 19, and she had just come to America with her husband, new husband, and Srila Prabhupada himself was new in America. And his, Prabhupada's disciples, I don't know, they were just learning how to cook. And she, I'm sure, was missing home. Then there weren't so many Indians in America then. So she would spend a lot of time with Srila Prabhupada at the temple. And they developed a very sweet, intimate relationship. She was like a daughter, or more like a granddaughter. They would have very intimate talks, and she would be cooking, and Prabhupada would come in the kitchen and see how she was doing. They had a very open relationship. So one day, she told Prabhupada that she wanted to see a department store. In India, they didn't have department stores. Department store means like one big store where there's many departments. And Prabhupada said, no, don't go. She said, why not? And he said, because as soon as you go to the department store, you'll see so many things that you want. You didn't want them before you went in the store. You didn't even know they existed. But as soon as you go in the store, you'll see so many things that you want. And that material attachment will develop. And as long as you have material attachments and desires, you have to take birth again. So she said, just once. I just want to see just once. No. Not even once. So, the culture we're in is very different, but still, we can follow the principles, but we need good association. We have to support each other. And when we associate with ordinary people who are involved in all these things, you know, materialistic household, of course anyone can be materialistic, but you know, envious householders, buying, shopping, competing, looking, what does that one have, why does he have it, why can't I have it, we forget, we lose the whole purpose of our life. I didn't read it, there was just too much to read, but Srila Prabhupada was saying, if in that same purport, that if we see the beautiful form of the deity and sing songs and prayers to the deities, we won't be attracted by the cinema songs, and you know, it's, we can't be without engagement, we can't be without association. So we should associate with pure devotees. Pure devotees in the sense that they have no other desire than to advance in Krishna consciousness and be engaged in chanting, deity worship, preaching, distributing books. Should be busy all the time, so we have no time for material activities that will keep us bound to the cycle of birth and death. Hare Krishna. So, let's give 10 minutes, for questions and answers. But they should be serious. Okay, there's two. We'll start with Hari Priya.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. This question is more in general for the sense of reaching more, because when we come across people and they ask, that's where I find concern and feel convinced that I'm very happy with preaching more than little worship. So I prefer preaching to little worship. So this is more for the other point of view. The things given in the scriptures are related only to deity worship of Krishna, or do they also in a similar way relate to having deities like Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra or Gaudetai? Because at many times we have heard statements like saying that of course Sada Krishna worship is the highest, so therefore there are many things to be considered and the senses are also more, so definitely in Kali Yuga it is not recommended. But if you keep Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra, it is easier and the senses are less. And then second number they say, I mean this is what I heard, so I want that clarification, that Gaudetai is the simplest because just by chanting nicely you can please them. They don't take offenses so much. So I just want a clarification on this one.
Yeah. There's some truth in what you said. I mean, as far as Jagannath and Krishna, Jagannath is Krishna, so there's no difference. And again, these things are answered, you know, in Srila Prabhupada's letters. This very question, many questions about the worship of Jagannath are answered in Prabhupada's letters, but the basic answer is that Jagannath is Krishna. The standard of worship of Jagannath is shown in the Jagannath temple in Puri. So it's not a lower standard. As far as Gaudetā, yes, they are pleased by kirtan, but you don't need deities. Srila Prabhupada said that in Kali Yuga, the recommended deity is the Panchatattva. You have a picture of the Panchatattva, and you do kirtan. And in the earlier days of ISKCON, when we established a preaching center, we would have a picture of the Panchatattva. We would do kirtan. You don't need to have Gaudetai deities to please Gaudetai with kirtan. But that said, if one has to begin deity worship, it's could be better to begin with Gaudetai, but one still has to be initiated. And otherwise a picture is fine. You can offer your food to a picture, you can do kirtan to the picture, you can offer incense, flowers, everything. Vishal, you know, in my room, on the far window, there are those two magazines, Krishna Kathamrita, with Lord Jagannath on the cover. Can you bring those? Mahaprabhu Das.
The first part of our question is actually that preaching, I enjoy more, means I like preaching more than deity worship. So, what is the answer?
Yeah, that's the deity for this age is the Panchatattva. They are pleased by Sankirtan, by preaching, by distributing books, by spreading the holy name. That's the, you know, we can't do these things practically. Our only hope is Gaudetai. That means chanting the holy name and preaching. That's what the movement is, chanting the holy name, preaching, getting others to chant the holy name. Preaching includes distributing books. I mean, that's very important, preaching, in a way, best preaching. So that's the conclusion.
My question is that somehow or other, just like we have taken initiation or chanting the holy name of God, But we are chanting by committing offenses, because we are not chanting offenses. So in the same way, we got involved in deity worship also. And we are not knowing, just like we started chanting, and that after we come to know that there are 10 offenses, and we understand that we are still there where we started. In the same way, we started deity worship, and we are doing the deity worship, and we know that by understanding it, that we are committing a prad. So how to understand both the things simultaneously now?
Well, in the beginning, if you commit an offense without knowing that you're committing an offense, it's not as serious as if you know that you're committing an offense. Like people, I mean, you know, we give them a book, you know, they don't know, they might take it in the toilet with them. They don't know. So, but we take that chance, because if they don't get the book, they won't get the knowledge and they won't know the purpose of human life and how to achieve it. So, but once someone knows, then of course he has to act on the basis of the knowledge, otherwise what's the purpose? So then you have to make adjustments. And it is complicated because people get deities without knowing what it is. And then when they have the deities, they find out that, you know. The best thing is probably to put them away. I mean, it depends on the situation. Let's put them away. Or give them to someone who can worship them. Or improve. I mean, there's a lot of the things don't take that much time, but they take more consciousness. Like, you know, ringing the bell, saying jai, and bowing down. And again, as I mentioned, there's different standards for home worship as opposed to temple worship. And that should be worked out. I mean, in principle, I would say, you know, that should be worked out with the spiritual master. But again, that really means it may be someone who is competent to represent the spiritual master, which is another problem. We need so much more training. I mean, we need a lot of training, a lot of discussion, a lot of instruction. But that would be the way that you sit down with someone and you discuss, okay, this is the situation. You know, we have these deities. These are the family members. These are their activities. These are how much time they have. You know, what should we do? You know, how much can we do, and you know, what can we improve, or is it better to like put the deities to rest or give them to someone who can worship them better? Each case is individual. And it takes time, you know, to have that discussion. It'll probably be an hour discussion with someone who's sensitive to, you know, the requirements of the family, sensitive to the needs of the deity, sensitive to the preaching mission.
But when we go to temple, as you said, that when you go to temple, then you are doing. But if I have a deity at home and I want to go to temple, the family, and so what I should do, the deity in the, because both things cannot be done together. We have to go to temple for Janamashtami or several times to attain Mangalarti and everybody wants to go there. Now what to do for the city?
Oh, well, that's... If you're going to the temple for Mangalarti, the whole family... Well, all right, let's say hypothetically. If the whole family goes to the temple for Mangalarti, then you don't have to do Mangalarti at home.
Yes. I got the answer. But another thing, that the system, the way you have explained, that the whole total temple, it involves everybody actually. Then only deity worship is possible. The son has to go 8 hours of office, the wife has to cook immediately to cook for him, and the children have to go to school. So how have the people have got time for doing deity worship?
That's my point.
So it means we should not do deity worship.
Or do they have time to go shopping? Do they have time to watch television?
No, how much time? We don't come in that category. I'm talking to not
okay.
That side or that
okay.
Side. Talking, they don't go to that. But this is a practical point. In the morning, deity worship cannot be done at 2 o'clock or 12 o'clock. They have to cook first for their husband or children. And
They can. No, home deities you can do it later in the day. That's what I was saying, that at home there's flexibility in the schedule. You have to offer the service, but there's flexibility. Yeah. You understand that now. That we have to offer the service at home. Like we have to offer food to the deity. But the time that we offer the food will be according to the family's convenience. Same with the puja. Of course, it's nice in the morning, but sometimes the early morning, everyone's busy. You know, children have to go to school, go to work, husband has to go to the work, wife has to cook, feed them, give them prasad to take with them. So she might only be able to do it later in the morning, or even in the afternoon. That's possible. Yeah. I mean, I've seen with Indradumna Swami is a very high level of worship. But he's flexible as to when he does it. He likes to do it in the morning, but things come up because we're preaching. That's the main thing. So sometimes he may get a phone call from Poland. But he does the worship. You know, it might be... it might be 8 in the morning, might be 10 in the morning, depending, it might even be later. So that flexibility is there with the schedule. Or if he's too busy, or say like if he goes away for a couple of days, he doesn't want to bring his deities with him. This is based on when he stays with us. So then he'll ask one of our devotees to do his deity worship for him while he's away. For a day or two to go to Seattle or wherever. Yes, Radhachara.
No, some devotees recommend that the devotees bring their deities of all the time and they can change it just once in a week or once in a fortnight. And some devotees recommended that we should do at least 5 items every day, changing their dress, offering food 5 times a day, or so, all these things. And when we said from Nikai Sisi Suri, then Traitashtamu told the Prabhupada disciple.
Who?
His name is Traitashtamu.
Traidas.
Yes. He came there.
From Italy?
From Italy, yes.
Yeah.
He done all this Haranya Prabhu. So then he told him in lecture that I think Prabhupada told us, he told that if the Gaudiya deities you bring in your home and put them in the showcase, then they disturb their mother.
Sorry?
If you bring the Gaudiya deities and you put them in the showcase, then they disturb their mercy system.
They bestow their mercy. Yes.
So now the question is, as some devotees recommend, that everyone should bring Gaudiya deities and if they put them on the altar and change their dress once in a week, once in a fortnight, is it better to bring the deity or better to service for the picture?
Yeah, I knew this would come up because there are a lot of people, devotees, who have different opinions on the subject, and they will take, they will all give a reference to Srila Prabhupada. This is everywhere. You could be a Ritvik, but you trace your authority for being a Ritvik to Prabhupada. You could go to the Gaudiya Mutt, some guru in the Gaudiya Mutt, and support your action with reverence to Srila Prabhupada. And I know when it comes to deity worship, so many people give so many different instructions and have so many different standards. And I knew that whatever I said, based on my understanding of Srila Prabhupada, there would be someone who would, oh, but so-and-so said this, or so-and-so gave that disciple permission to do that. And but all I can do is repeat what I have read and learned from Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada in Africa, you know, to really be able to represent Srila Prabhupada, you have to have a sense of the full range of his instructions on a subject. If you know just one instruction that he gave in one case, in one situation, you may be missing other instructions that he gave that were very different that he gave in other circumstances. Now, when Srila Prabhupada was thinking of how to spread Krishna consciousness to Africans, he had the idea that we can make Gaur Nitai deities and they can just keep Gaur Nitai at home. Because how to get through to them? That doesn't mean that a program that he envisioned for people totally outside of Vedic culture, who have no background of knowledge or pious activity, some way to get Gaur Nitai's mercy to them, that that's the program that he had in mind for cultured, you know, relatively cultured and educated and resourceful Indians. It's a completely different situation. So that's why I'm suggesting you read. I know you don't read. I know from your behavior that you don't read, and I know from the questions you ask that you don't read. You have to read. Prabhupada stayed up at night translating these books so we would read them. So that's why if you read this section in Srila Prabhupada Shikshamrita about deity worship, you'll see he says different things to different devotees under different circumstances. And you have to get a broad sense of Prabhupada's instructions, what he said to who and when and why. But the more general principles, and you could say the strongest authority, is in the books. You don't find in the books that Prabhupada says you can keep Gaur Nitai on the shelf. You don't find that in the books. That may have been a specific program or instruction for a special situation. You don't find that in the books. But still, it has validity. But we have to understand the circumstances in which it's valid.
Would it be that sometimes we get in Mayapur, wherever we go, those figurines, or Nikai? Now, they are not actually meant to be deities, or to be installed, or to be Pranapratishtha and all that. So, what probably, I'm just thinking that if we have them just like that, at least if people are seeing them, so would it be in that context? that at least have them around so that they are listening, because since you're seeing their form and you're getting verified by remembering them, just seeing them, but you have not kept them as deities who have to be like, you know, like if somebody has an ordinary mundane picture in the house, any outside person. So rather than if he has a Radha Krishna picture in the house, so it is better to have that than to have the mundane picture. So could it be in that context?
It could be.
In individual cases. In the
all right, I'll tell you another story. I guess in Mayapur they produce and sell sort of figurines, not figurines, but like not exactly a deity, but the front is like a deity, but it's, I think the back is probably flat of Nrisimhadev. So one disciple got that from Mayapur. Kept it at home on her altar. And then her house caught fire. Her husband lost his job, his contract. And she had like a lot of calamities. A lot of calamities. And she was in North Carolina, so she consulted a very senior devotee there named Archana Siddhi. And Archana Siddhi said, well, it could be because you're worshipping Lord Nrisimhadev. Because, actually, only sannyasis are supposed to worship Lord Nrisimhadev. Because he's very ferocious. And he breaks into pieces all of your material attachments. So, if that's what you want, it's okay. But you have to be prepared for it. But generally, householders, it's not what they want, it's not so suitable for their ashram. So generally, only sannyasis worship Nrisimhadev. And she said, well, why are they just selling it? You know, we don't know when we buy them. You know, they're just selling it and, you know, it's... But this is the point. We're dealing with very powerful processes here. And it's in our interest to know what we're doing. You know, it's like... It's like the same example, you know, you might innocently drink some infected water, but it doesn't mean you won't get sick from it. You know, you have to protect yourself, you know, to protect yourself. You know, when I, before coming, you know, I thought, well, I wonder, like, what about diseases? And then the very last day, I mean, I thought of it late, but at least I thought of it. Very last day, got advice for malaria. And so we take precautions to protect ourselves. If we don't take precautions, we could have to suffer the consequences. We said, well, nobody told me when I went to India that I could get malaria, or I shouldn't drink the water, or I shouldn't, you know, expose myself to mosquito bites or whatever. So that out of ignorance we suffer. The basic cause of suffering is ignorance. So we want to be educated. We don't want to remain in the darkness of ignorance. We want to come to the light of knowledge.
These 32 offenses you mentioned for the deity worship, is it meant only for the pujaris or also for them
you are seeing the individual.
You're saying, do the offenses operate in relation only to the pujaris or even to the people who are seeing the deity worship? Well, it depends on what the offense is. I mean, if it's a matter of offering obeisances to the deities, if you come into the temple, you have to offer obeisances. But if it's a matter of bathing and wearing clean cloth, which you would have to do to go in the deity room, it's nice if you have that standard when you come to the temple, but it's not required. So it really depends on what it is. If it's a matter of like not getting angry in front of the deity, not speaking harshly in front of the deity, I mean, of course, you shouldn't do it in the deity room, but you shouldn't do it anywhere in front of the deity.
Sometimes during the lecture, what happens is that we do hold our ankles like that. So.
No, you shouldn't do that. No. Prabhupada said if you're in the temple room and you can't sit properly, it's better to sit up, like on a chair or something. But you shouldn't. Huh?
It's so crowded that you can't.
You can stand up. Anyway, do the best you can.
Is there a difference between the deity which is installed, Pran Pratishtha, and there are many households who have not done it, but have just kept the deity? And we are just worshipping
according to this. Well, this is another topic. Is there such a thing as uninstalled deities? Mm-hmm. I mean, again, I refer to Indradumya Swami and Sri Prahlad. And of course, Sri Prahlad worked a lot with Bhakti Vidyapurna Swami in Mayapur. Deity worship really means you install the deities. When you install them, you establish a certain minimum standard of worship and then you stick to it. I suppose, but now they have a thing, they don't install the deities, but they welcome the deities. There are a lot of, in-between areas. A lot of in-between areas. But real deity worship means deities are installed, a certain minimum standard of worship is established, and then the standard is maintained. At the beginning of this meeting, I said what I wanted was that before anyone introduced any new deity worship, they should be educated. They should read all these. Also, in the seventh canto, Prahlad's famous statement to Hiranyakasipu, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam. In that purport, it's probably the longest, or one of the longest of Prabhupada's purports, he gives an elaborate explanation of each of the nine items, based mainly on Bhakti Sandarbha. When I read Bhakti Sandarbha, I saw that most of that purport Prabhupada got from Bhakti Sandarbha. And under Archana, you'll find a lot of information, including the list of offenses. So, what I want is before anyone gets any new deities, you shouldn't even get them without permission from the spiritual master, that they read at least these five things, this verse and purport I just read from Bhagavatam, then the section Lord Chaitanya's instructions to Sanatana Goswami, then the nectar of devotion, Bhava deity worship, then that purport, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Parasevanam Archanam, and Srila Prabhupada Shikshamrita, all the letters that Srila Prabhupada wrote, excerpts of letters that Srila Prabhupada wrote about deity worship. They should do that and take the deity worship course that we're trying to organize. But it's everywhere if you look for it. Now this magazine, Sri Krishna Kathamrita, is published by Madhavananda Prabhu, a wonderful devotee, disciple of Srila Gaurgovinda Swami Maharaj. This, many of the issues relate to Lord Jagannath, and he has a section in which he quotes from Srila Prabhupada, who is Jagannath? Purchasing and producing deities of Lord Jagannath, bathing Lord Jagannath, dressing Lord Jagannath, installing new deities, worshipping Jagannath at home, worship by children, broken deities of Jagannath, Snanyatra, conducting Rathyatra, decorating Jagannath's cart. So, I'll read. Installing new deities. There is no need of installing deities immediately. New temples may be opened by placing Panchatattva and Acharya pictures. Unless we have sufficient experienced devotees, we shall not install Radha, Krishna, or Jagannath's deities. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very kind and lenient. Simply chanting of Hare Krishna will please him. But he's talking about See, they'll take that and apply it to deities of Gaur Nitai, and it may not be that. I mean, it will apply to some extent, but not completely. What he's saying here is in support of pictures of Panchatattva and the Acharyas. Simply chanting of Hare Krishna will please him. But when we have deities like Radha, Krishna, or Jagannath, we must strictly follow the regulative principles of Archana. That's a letter to Hansaduta, the next letter. Where there is want of pujaris, only Panchatattva pictures should be worshipped by performance of kirtan. As soon as Jagannath or Radha Krishna deities are installed, you will require some qualified pujaris immediately. If there is a scarcity of such qualified pujaris, then each center should be satisfied by only worshipping the Panchatattva of Lord Chaitanya by performance of Sankirtan. And letter to Shivananda. If there is the possibility of regular worship, then you can install Jagannath. Otherwise, don't do it. Unless there is solid temple management, I don't advise you to install the deity. Deity installation means regular worship without fail and for good. just like in Jagannath Puri. The temple was established over 1,000 years ago and it is still going on. Always they have prasad ready for at least 1,000 people. And bhoga is offered 56 times a day. Worshipping Jagannath at home. So fire your deity worship of Lord Jagannath. Don't bother with it for the time being. Householders can have small altars, and Guru, Gauranga, and Jagannath may be worshipped. But you should not spend a lot of time in this way to try to make the worship, quote, first class. You cannot make it first class. That requires much money and time and men. So better to leave the worshipping of deities very nicely to the temples. And you may go there and worship. Keep a small Guru Gauranga altar. Offer incense and flowers in the morning. Offer your home prepared foodstuffs. That's enough for the time being. Better to spend time chanting and following the regulative principles and preaching and distributing books. Letter to Mangalamaya and Madhupuri. Worship by children. I do not think that you should give Jagannath to children, to small children. They will not take proper care of them, and they will make offenses. In this country, their parents do not give them a proper example of worshiping the deity with all respect. That was in the United States, but it's becoming more common in other places as well. Just like in my childhood, I was seeing my father bowing down and offering respects to the deity. And I did the same on seeing him. But it is not done here. So it is better to take some care in giving out Jagannath. So this is a very important point, that the children will learn from the parents. So if the children see the parents are bowing down, you know, ringing the bell, making proper offerings and doing proper worship, they'll learn. If they see the parents come in, you know, standing very straight and, you know, just very quickly fut-a-fut and rush, and they won't be raised in that culture of deity worship that Prabhupada was raised in, and that our children should be raised in. And if they're not raised in that culture and their deities, they may commit offenses, as Prabhupada says, even in relation to small children. They'll commit offenses. So it's better not to have that. Deity worship can be learned at not less than 10 years by children. Before that, they can assist. They can learn how to bow down, how to dance and chant, how to make garlands, clean arti utensils. In this way, they can be engaged. This is before 10. He's saying that for direct worship, they should be at least 10. But before 10, they can do all these things. These are also different parts of deity worship. So this is a sample that was convenient to read because it was compiled in this magazine. And we didn't have the Srila Prabhupada Shikshamrita, but this is the point, that I'm not making this up. That's not my fanaticism. I'm just repeating what Srila Prabhupada has said and written. And this is the standard. And I mean, I read that Srila Prabhupada said that every devotee should see the deities. You know, if you don't see the deities, your eyes are like the plumes of peacocks. So we want deity worship, but in the proper way. And if we can't do it properly at home, then we do it at the temple. And the main focus, in any case, should be chanting the holy names and preaching and distributing books. Yes.
Regarding one devotee want to bring the deity of Sri Prabhupada, so it is better to have picture of Sri Prabhupada at the altar or the deity of Sri Prabhupada?
There's no one answer. It depends on the situation. It depends on the mood of service, the respect. I mean, Srila Prabhupada is very merciful, but you know, he's a worshipable personality. You know, that's why the scriptures say that one should take permission from the spiritual master before he begins the worship, because it's very individual. How can you make a rule? Depends on each case.
Figurines nowadays that are very much prevalent even in ISKCON, I believe they are making it in China and then bringing it to something like you just have a little figurine with the metropolitan or whatever. They also have some of them in the glass cases, which are always really like not right, definitely. But even the open ones. So they are not actually put on the altar. Like one family may have an altar, whichever way, with picture or without. We are not looking at that point right now. But altar is one place where you worship and you offer food and other things. Suppose in the corner of their home or somewhere, instead of putting other outside kind of thing, people suppose they put those figurines. So, or which are Krishna conscious figurines. So how is one supposed to look at that? Means do they become like deities, or they are just so that we remember Krishna? Or we should not have those because ultimately it is God's form.
You know, everything really depends on the consciousness. And, you know, if you see the figure and you think, oh, you know, Krishna's so beautiful, and you think of the pastime, Krishna being, you know, whatever, Krishna stealing butter, Krishna being bound by Mother Yasoda. So that's good. Yeah. If it inspires remembrance of Krishna, then it's good. Just looking at it, if it encourages your appreciation of Krishna, then it's good.
Well, it's not that we are becoming like more like Sahaja Brahmans, chanting my 16 rounds but committing offense. In the same way, bringing the tea of Gaurang Thai and putting them and doing the Lilati or little something. So I am his con person, I have taken initiation, I am chanting, and so this is another type of Sahajism is entering indirectly in our movement.
Well, I don't know what the if we take the general definition that Srila Prabhupada gave of Sahaja, that one who takes things cheaply, yes, I do think deity worship is being taken cheaply. In that sense, yes. All right, well, yes, Panna.
thought, how do you worship God in that nothing to
basic? How do you worship Gaur Nitya in a basic, simple way? Installed? Which pujari? What's his name?
So we asked him at that moment before he joined that. So he said that don't do installation. You can just do the worship as if we are your children in our homes. So just carry on. He just did an abhishek in the initial and then just carry on in our own without.
Yeah, so do you say if you had children, what would you do? You'd bathe the child, you'd feed the child, you'd dress the child, but according to your timings. So how are you worshipping Gaur Nitya like your children? Do you like, you don't put the child on the shelf and then forget about it, right? Yeah, so I mean, it's a matter of the consciousness. I mean, again, we're starting from a situation that we entered without knowledge. It happens all the time because so many things you don't really know what it is until you're in it. Like Grihastha Ashram. You don't really know what it is until you're in it. Having a child, you don't know what it really is until you have one. I mean, so many things are like that. So same with deities. But now, as we're sort of maturing and trying to learn from our mistakes, we're appreciating the value of informing people in advance, this is what it means to be married, this is what it means to have a child, and this is what it means to have deities. But sometimes you have the deities, or whatever the situation is, you enter it before you knew as much as you could have. So that's the situation here. And I think it's a matter of increasing or improving the standard of worship within the context of the family. And again, it's a very individual thing. But, you know, as a possible scenario, you wake up, you bathe, then you wake up the deity. Now, wake up the deity means there's prayers. Again, these things don't take long, but they're prayers you say when you wake up the deities. And, for example, say when you put them to rest, you take their crowns off. So when you wake them up, you put their crowns on. And then you chant. And then, but at some stage, there should be a little arti. I feel there should be at least two little artis a day, one in the morning, one in the evening. You should offer boga to the deities, you should offer flowers. I mean, it depends how much you can do. And it depends who's at home and how much time they have. But you live together with other family members and you don't all work, so there's scope. There's definitely scope for adding to the worship of these deities. And you know, making garlands. I mean, certainly offering incense, offering flowers. You read, you get the idea. You know, reading is an important source of knowledge. But I, you know, in your situation, I don't see why you can't maintain a reasonable standard as far as the bathing and dressing. I mean, it really should be done every day. And but you have people. That's the point. You know, I don't think in your case that everyone is like so busy that they don't have time. It's a matter of learning some procedures and doing them. And you have Kula Priya. And, huh? She's the pujari. Yeah.
I heard the specific lecture. It was a doubt that she was unsure about I last month or straight away.
Well, I mean, ideally we want to come to the standard where the people doing the worship have second initiation and the deities are installed. And it's like that when you, if you're like, main, you know, able to come to that standard, then the initiation and installation will come. You have to like show that you're able to do it before they're installed. So that, I think that would be the best thing. Just build up, like with chanting. You know, you don't start with 16 rounds, but you build up to 16 rounds. And after you've been chanting 16 rounds for a year or two or whatever, then you can be initiated. So I think given that you are in this situation, you have the deities, you've welcomed them, officially welcomed them. So I think just build up the standard till it's like they're installed deities and you can get second initiation and they can be installed. But it's like Prabhupada said, you have to maintain the standard and for good. So, okay, you're maintaining the standard based on Kula Priya, Mataji. She has the time and devotion, but you all have the devotion, but she has the time. But it's a very risky situation if we make the whole deity worship depend on her, because if she's not there, will there be sufficient support within the family to maintain the worship? That's very important when Prabhupada said it. The standard should be maintained and for good. But it's not a cheap thing. And, you know, I was there, one man had little brass deities. He wanted to give them to Srila Prabhupada. This was in, 1970s. He said, well, I'll accept them, but you have to give me 2 lakhs of rupees. And that was a lot more then than it is now. He said it's not a cheap thing to maintain deities. So,
why is deity worship something that is tied with the heavens? That are those 64 items meant only for well established Vaishnavas who are following everything? Or is that actually what people think?
Now, there's that list of 64 items in deity worship, And then there's another 64 items of devotional service, and out of those, five are most potent, and one of them is worshipping the deity with faith and veneration.
So a lot of people say that if it is coming in the first five items, which are most important in devotional service, then why it should not be taking worship? People ask like that.
No, there should be, but you know, okay, there's the 64 items, but within the 64 items, there's 10 preliminary items. Before you even go to the rest of the 64, there's 10 preliminary items. And the first is to take shelter of a spiritual master, to take initiation, to follow his... You know, these are the preliminary items before you even get to the others. So it's a systematic process. This is very haphazard. You hear something here, hear something there, read something here, read something there, and cook up some totally concocted notion. Like Prabhupada said, if you want to become a lawyer, you have to be a graduate. Can you become a lawyer without being a graduate? No. In the same way, you can't worship the deities unless you're a Brahmin. You just can't do it. So, you know, you might say, well, being a lawyer is a very lucrative profession. Why can't we just all become lawyers? Well, you can, but there's a system. Or even, you know, the idea that you're a Brahmin, then you're a Vaishnava. But that means, you know, real Vaishnava doesn't mean like just putting on tilak and kunti bala and bead bag. But if you're real Vaishnava, you do have the brahminical qualifications. Yes, Siddhi Lala. Busy with their work, how do we even arrange a class that they can attend? I was thinking one night, one evening a week. That's one approach. The other way is we just have like one intensive, like a deity worship weekend, and then they get like several hours every day, two or three days. Those are the two ways that generally we deal with people who have busy schedules. Either like a little every week, you know, one evening a week, or just one time, you know, one or two times, like you set aside, okay, we're going to have like an intensive seminar, like 6-8 hours a day. And then you just set it that weekend, you just have to set everything else aside. These are just the two things I could think of. Otherwise, we admit that we can't do deity worship. And we do Harinam, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalona, Stavana, 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 Kirit. And then go to the temple whenever you're able. All right. Thank you very much.